Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in our text today teaches the parable of the Great Supper. The parable of the Great Supper. Now the occasion was that Jesus was at a dinner affair, and one of his table companions at dinner said to him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Nothing wrong with that. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, what is it that this guy meant? What he meant is, isn't it wonderful that God has a heaven and a kingdom prepared for those who love him? And so, Jesus takes the man at his statement, and then he deals with the question, "You are correct. They are blessed who eat bread in the kingdom of God. But just who are they who are among those blessed? And who are they who are not among the blessed?" And so Jesus says, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" In this simple sentence, Jesus summarizes the entire plan of God for the salvation of sinners in the person of Jesus himself. The man who holds the Great Supper is God the Father. And he promised in the Old Testament to send his Christ into the world to save and bless the world. And all throughout the Old Testament, he sent his prophets to promise and to extend the promise and to elaborate on the promise, so that the entire Old Testament is filled with the knowledge of Christ who would come to be a savior of sinners. And so, the coming of Christ is pictured for us as a great and wonderful supper. And it says that the man who made the supper invited many people to the supper. This is the work of the inspired Word of God, to invite people to come to Christ. And it says, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And in this, he is referring first of all to John the Baptist, who appeared among the Jews, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," and calling all people to prepare for the coming of the Christ, the Savior of the world. It refers secondarily to Jesus himself, who in his public ministry not only suffered and died for us on the cross and rose the third day, but he also taught us the gospel and preached the same message as John the Baptist, but added more content of the grace and mercy of God. And so first, The servant sent at supper time is John the Baptist. Secondly, it is Jesus. And thirdly, it is the holy apostles of the Lord who were sent out into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And when you read the book of Acts, particularly chapters 1 through 9, you see the work of the apostles preaching the gospel first in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then further and further until the conversion of St. Paul, and where he then, for the rest of the book of Acts, takes the gospel to the whole world. All right? He just goes with it. So, when he says he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready, this refers to John the Baptist, to Jesus, and to the apostles who first began to preach the gospel. And they preached, come, for all things are now ready. What does this mean? God has kept his word. God has fulfilled his promises. God has sent the Savior to the world. And now God invites you by faith to lay hold of Jesus, who is the great bread of life, the great supper of God, the Savior of all men, and the giver of life everlasting. And when he died for the sins of the world on the cross of Calvary, he proclaimed, "It is finished." And so the gospel that is preached in the world today is the gospel of the finished work of Christ. Right? The gospel does not consist in you do your part and then God will do his part. That's a satanic lie that will land you in hell. But it's what a lot of people think. You know, I'll do my part, God does his part. Hopefully we'll all get to heaven. Lie. Everything that speaks to your salvation is accomplished. And you may simply receive it. What is faith? Faith is the empty hand that receives the offered gift. The gift is the gospel. It's the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ. It's already been purchased, won, and completed. And now, wherever the word is preached, wherever the sacrament is rightly administered, Jesus himself stands before you with this gift. And he offers it to you and delivers it to you. Faith simply receives it with thanksgiving. It receives the gift that is offered and given. So he says, come, for all things are now ready. That means whatever you have been through, whatever failings you may have had, whatever failure of discipleship you may have had, you may come to Jesus right now. And he receives you because he is your Savior. He is the one who has won your salvation and purchased it. And it is now his to give and yours to receive. So he invites us, come, for all things are now ready. But you know, there are people who think that they are righteous when they are not. There are people who think that all is well with their souls when they walk about every day with the sword of Damocles hanging over their heads because they live in impenitence and unbelief. They think that because they are upstanding citizens, because they are good people and faithful family members, that this is enough to win righteousness with God. And whenever such people hear an invitation to salvation, whenever they hear that gospel invitation, they put their hand up and they say, "Oh, please, I'm so busy. I couldn't possibly. Listen, I have just purchased a field and I've got to go inspect it. Please, some other time. I have just purchased a Lamborghini and I got to make sure that it's in good working order. You know, I just bought a house that I intend to flip and make a passel of money on. And I got to make sure I didn't get taken advantage. I just got married, and you know, there's only so many hours in a day, right? So we all have our excuses. And these excuses may sometimes be well meant, but they are what they are. They are people hearing the invitation to life and saying, "Thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks." You see, there are people, they don't think they need a great supper. They don't think they need a Savior. They think that they're already just fine, thank you, and they resent the offer of grace. So they say, "Thanks, but no thanks." So in verse 21, the servant comes and showed his Lord these things. And it says, the master of the house, being angry, God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, this God also has wrath for those who persist in sin, for those who persist in impenitence. There is the wrath of God that hangs over and threatens. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." He said, "I don't care how you do it. Go out there and grab everyone that you can. Everyone who is willing. No matter what kind of condition they are in, you tell them to come in. All right? Come in. Come in. Come in." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there's still more room." And he says, "Well, then go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now, what is this? What is this? This is the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. It is the preaching of the good news to sinners throughout the world, no matter what their condition, no matter what their past, no matter what their thinking, is. It is the preaching of the gospel to all the lost for all times, and it is still going on today, it's still going on right now, and it's still going on here as I speak this message today. The word of the gospel is inviting everyone to come to the Lord's Supper. You see? To come. Now, it says here, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And those are the people who know that they cannot save themselves, that they are in a lost condition, and that if someone does not have mercy upon them, they will remain lost. And these are invited. Come. And so we have a supper that is filled with all manner of people. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, none of those that were invited shall taste of my supper. So, what's the point of our lesson today? The lesson is this. The supper has been made, and all things are now ready. Christ has acted to save us all. And the invitation to come to the supper is proceeding everywhere in the world throughout the time of grace. From the first coming to the second coming of Christ, the gospel is being sounded forth into the world, and everyone is being invited to come to the supper. That includes us, and it includes everyone that we know. But there are many people who, despite the work of Christ, despite the invitation of the gospel, despite every effort to include them, they exclude themselves in their unbelief, and in the end, not one of them will taste of the supper. Other things they will taste of, but they will not taste of the supper of the Lord. We can take good courage because it is we who were in the highways and byways. It was we who were in the highways and the hedges. And the Lord found us there, and he brought us to his supper. It is we who are the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And we have been made rich in faith. We have been restored in the grace of God. And we have been enabled to see by having our eyes open. And so we may rejoice today in the gracious work of God in seeing to it that his great supper benefits many people. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.